You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Could you join me this morning, please, in Matthew chapter 26? Mentioned it in our communion time there. That's where we're going to be, looking at the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30. Honesty time. Reality is, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit this morning. I don't like to do that often on Sunday mornings. I like to find a place where we can kind of ground ourselves in the text, but there are a few things I wanted to look at today, but everything's going to kind of wrap up in Matthew 26. So if you want to hang out there, awesome. Keep your finger there. If you want to follow me around, that's cool, but this is where we're going to finish things off today. So if you're making your way there, if you're already there, would you please just pray with me as we open up this morning's sermon time together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, again, just to be here today. Lord, we recognize that being here at church with friends, with family, with a family of faith is not something that everybody gets around the world. There are places in this world where to gather and profess our love for you, what you have done for us, is not legal. There are places in the world where those who profess to know you are far and away the minority, and they don't have others to gather with. There are places in North America where people feel on the outside looking in if they profess to know you. And so we are so thankful, God, to belong to this community, this church, this family of faith, where we can gather together joyfully to look at what you have done for us. We are here today in the hopes that your word would speak to us and we would have a greater understanding of who you are at the end of this time together, that we would be able to apply these things to our lives, to continue to grow, to be more like you. I pray, Lord, that you would remove me from that equation if needs be, that we would make every effort to preach your word and your word alone in this place, and that you would guide our hearts and understanding as we look at your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you forgot or didn't guess, it's Thanksgiving this weekend. We may or may not have been talking about it a lot already, but I don't think inappropriately so. We are here with it on our hearts and on our minds, hopefully thinking about more than just the turkey and pie. I know I'm thinking about it a lot, but hopefully it's not the forefront of our minds too much today. It's a good thing. It's something, I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy it and not feel bad about that. But sometimes in Thanksgiving, I think we kind of get lost in those thoughts, right? We think about the food. Oh, the food. Yeah. We think about time with family, right? The time reflecting on the year that's been, the blessings that we've received, and reflecting on God's goodness that's been given to us, right? And that's often where we go on a Sunday morning too, and we have today. We've looked at how God has blessed us. We've looked at the importance of Thanksgiving as the Bible presents it. And we use that, the way God has blessed us in the material things in our everyday walk, to turn our attention and our focus here to the cross of Jesus Christ, right? And I think that that's by design. That is a good thing. It's where our sin was paid for, where our salvation is found. It's a completely appropriate thing to do. And I don't want to come here today with the idea of reinventing the wheel when talking about Thanksgiving or preaching or speaking to certain holidays or events in general. It always has to come back to here, to the cross, and it always should. What a better thing to be appreciative and thankful for than on Thanksgiving than the Son of God laying down his life willfully and freely in order that you and I can be saved from our sin, from our broken, depraved nature, be made sons and daughters of the King, of God Almighty. But this week, as I was praying and reading and thinking and just kind of seeking out where God wanted us to be for a Thanksgiving message, because, you know, I love it when I say to Pastor Myron, do we have a new series that we're going to work on that I can get started with? And he just said, preach on Thanksgiving. It's a broad topic. And so as I was thinking about where to go today, I came across a thought or a reminder that I do want to look at, that I want to spend time thinking about. Beth and I recently, about a week or so ago, were watching a TV show to unwind before bed. We don't watch a lot of TV, but every now and then you're tired enough that you just kind of want to sit down a big old bowl of popcorn and just relax. And we have a show that we're going through that we really enjoy called Last Man Standing. I don't know if anyone here has seen it. It's a Tim Allen show. It's quite enjoyable, I find. And we have them on DVD, and so we were just going through a disc, and we happened to be on an episode that was about Thanksgiving. And in this episode, the mother of the family is making her yearly thankful list. It's something that their family does. They have a board in their kitchen. Everyone writes something down, and then you share it at supper together. Now, that idea is something that a lot of us do, right? Whether you have a whiteboard in your kitchen, or you put it on a piece of paper, maybe you don't literally write down a list. Maybe you just sit down after that meal and you've loosened your belt and you take some time to say, what are we thankful for this year? Well, I'm going to share a list with you this morning, a thankful list. But I'm cheating and I'm using somebody else's list. A list from somebody who's way better at being thankful than I am. I want to look at, as I said we should do this morning, the life of Jesus and the things that he expressed thanks for, and to unpack how he is and should be a model of thanksgiving for all of us. As was mentioned this morning, thanksgiving is talked about a lot in the Bible, right? The gospel accounts, as they work through Jesus's, show many aspects about the Son of God, but this one maybe doesn't get as much airtime as some of the other ones. We look at his holiness, we look at his love, we look at all of these things, but we don't always focus on how thankful he was. Jesus' life wasn't particularly easy. He was referred to in the book of Isaiah by the prophet Isaiah when he prophesied about him as the man of sorrows. He once said in Matthew 8 that even the animals have homes, birds have nests, foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's speaking of the cost of following him and how he would be rejected wherever he would go. He went to the Father often in prayer for the burden of his life, his purpose of being, knowing what he had come to this earth to do. He was acquainted with grief, and yet he was constantly thanking the Father. Now, with how much we've talked about it this morning, would it surprise you to learn that thankfulness is mentioned over 73 times in the New Testament alone as a main point of teaching? 20 times within the Gospels. It's clearly a point of teaching that was emphasized and an aspect of Jesus' life that was plain to those who followed him because the theme continues beyond his life. It was plain to those who sought to live like him. But what was he, in fact, thankful for? Well, I want to look at five things today that I discovered that Jesus is recorded as showing thanks or giving thanks for, as I feel like these five things specifically are things that we can relate to and that we can bring application to in our lives today. Okay? So I don't have a PowerPoint. Sorry. I don't do that thing. Maybe I should. But these are the five things I want you to just remember, and then we'll work through them. Jesus Christ gave thanks for knowledge, for learning. He gave thanks for food. He was thankful that his prayers were heard. He was thankful for friends, for family. And then the last one, I'm just going to leave you hanging with a bit of a cliffhanger. Hook you in, make you stay. We'll get to it yet, but not just yet. Okay? So item number one that Jesus was thankful for, he gave thanks for knowledge, for learning. Matthew 11:25 says, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise and thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children.'" Isn't that something that we should be thankful for, right? That we're hopefully, anyway, a little smarter and wiser with another year under our belts? We as people experience much. We as people fail in much. And in these moments, we grow. I can look back on the last year with plenty of regret on how I did a lot of things. As a husband, could have done better as a father, could have done better as a friend, as your pastor. I can look back and say, man, I wish I would have done it this way instead of that way. But the wonderful thing that I realize when I have that line of thinking come through my head, I hope it's a wonderful thing, is that every year when I come to Thanksgiving, every year when I come to those moments when I say, I wish I would have done it better, I find that I had literally the exact same thought the year before. Every year that I've been married, I think to myself, man, I wish I could have been a better husband this year. Every year that I've been your pastor, I think to myself, wow, I could have done a much better job. Now, if you think about that for yourself and you fill in the blank, maybe not pastor, right, but husband, co-worker, friend, father, whatever it may be, and you fill that blank in, and you feel like you've had the same experience of me of, man, I keep coming back to this place of I wish I would have done better, it's really easy for that to be a little demoralizing for you. But what I want to find to be the wonderful thing here is that I am, in fact, not the same guy, the same husband, the same pastor that I was a year ago, and that is true, in fact, every year. Thank the Lord. Matthew 11:25, where Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Jesus, in fact, is being thankful that the truths of his glory, his purpose, his coming have not been seen by the world, but they would be seen and understood by those who are seeking truth, not looking to manipulate and make their own truth. When those who come to him empty themselves, they can see clearly the wonderful riches of knowing him and serving him as they become more like him. Fun little story. It's a quote that I'm sure most of you have heard, or a story you've heard. Thomas M. Edison, inventor of the light bulb. Tell me if you've heard this one. Famously tested more than 2,000 different metal filaments before he found the proper elements to construct the first incandescent light bulb. And when he was asked about his 2,000 failures, he said, I did not fail. I just found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb. When I look back at the year that's been and the years subsequent, I look back hoping not to simply see failure, but to see the pieces of me being left behind as I empty myself to come before him humbly like a child, that I might know him more. Right? So every year, progressively, when I say, man, I could have done better, the hope is that the bar is being moved and that in growing closer to Christ and understanding him, in humbling ourselves and getting rid of the pieces of ourselves who think have it figured out, we would see more clearly the holiness of our God and the need to be like him. In the same way we learn at school, at work, at home, all the different things that we want to become more efficient in or better at, we should also grow in our walk with God. And we should be thankful for the growth in those areas that we are, in fact, not the same man, woman, son, or daughter that we were a year ago, right? Secondly, Jesus gives thanks for food. I keep coming back to food a lot today, don't I? I might have a problem. Jesus gave thanks, famously in the Bible, before he miraculously fed 4,000 people in Matthew 15 and Mark 8, and before he miraculously fed 5,000 people in John 6 with just a few fish and loaves of bread. Right? He also gave thanks before the last Passover meal, which is in Matthew 26 that we're going to be looking at. And it seems like the simplest of things, thank God before you eat, right? Why is this something that we should emphasize and look at today? Well, the simplicity of it, I think, is the important thing. Be thankful for provision, the provision of the sustenance we need to live. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above, and it comes down from the Father, James 1 tells us. Everything we have comes from him. Even the simplest of things, even the things we don't think of much. When prayer before a meal becomes part of just a routine and not actual thanks, we lose focus on the fact that this is not a guarantee, this is not a promise, this truly is a gift that we've been given. When Jesus took the 7 loaves and the few little fish and fed 4,000 and 5,000 in 2 different events, he gave thanks. When Christ bowed his head at the Last Supper with the disciples, he gave thanks. And it wasn't just a matter of routine. When he was asked to have dinner with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he gave thanks, and in doing so was revealed to them as the Savior. The creator of all sustenance gave thanks for simple provisions. And what's more, he gave thanks not just from a position of bounty or plenty, but in meager places as well. Let's be honest with ourselves. The few small fish and the loaves didn't exactly make for a buffet for just him and his disciples, never mind the thousands who followed him. And yet thanks was given, and given before the miraculous act took place. There's a little more to that. We'll get to that in a bit. I promise we'll jump back to it. But when we sit down, I want to ask us this weekend at the table with our families, I want us to do the same. Regardless of what's in front of us, regardless of who's at the table with us, I want us to take some time to think about the fact that that table, the food on it, and the people sitting around it is a reminder of us to the one who made all things and gave us all things for us to enjoy. Thirdly, Jesus gives thanks that his prayers are heard. Okay, standing at the tomb of Lazarus in John 11, about to raise him from the dead, the Bible tells us that Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Before he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, he says this. So I say this often during prayer time, and I genuinely mean it. What an amazing thought it is that we can actually talk to God, right? The creator of the universe, God Almighty, we've looked at the attributes of him over the last number of months. Immutable, omniscient, omnipresent, perfect in love, perfect in grace, just in all things. This God we can speak to and be heard. Jesus knew, as the Son of God, as God Almighty himself, that his words weren't just being thrown into an empty sky or falling on deaf ears. They were heard. And it can be easy for people who don't know to look at the word of God and say, well, yeah, his were heard because it's Jesus. I'm just me. Why would my words be heard? Remember also what Jesus said just three chapters later in John 14 when he says, when we pray, if we ask rightly, with a right heart, in his name, that it will be done, that God would be glorified. And so Jesus shows us why we can be thankful in our prayers. The answer, not even given yet, but the prayer is answered. What a lesson in faith. And I think Cody touched on this a bit in his opening. Faith and gratitude always seem to go together. We should never take for granted that God hears our or answers our prayers. And so we're called to stand in our need, stand in the place of brokenness and in the place of plenty, thankful in both situations that we can be heard by God. I'm going to keep moving here. Fourthly, almost done. Remember, I only had five things. He expressed gratitude for those God had given him and for their protection. In John 17, where I preached just 2 weeks ago, Jesus thanks God for those he gave him in verse 6. And then in verse 12, it says that they've been protected and kept safe. None have been lost except the son of destruction, Judas, in order that the scriptures would be fulfilled. When we make our own list, isn't one of the first things on our list, or maybe it should be anyway, the people that God has given us? Family. Friends, the people who are dearest to us in this world, the people who travel for hours and hours so that we can see them eat some turkey and then they just go home the next day. But it's worth it because of how much we care for each other. What a blessing to have family, a piece of yourself that you get to pass on into the world, the joy that they bring and the love that you share together. Now, not all of us necessarily have home situations that would reflect that. But for those in those situations, we all know of surrogate families, mentors, friends who become just like family to us. And those are the people we celebrate with on a weekend like this. Those are the people we thank God for in our lives often. We thank God that we have them. We thank God that he's provided for them, protected them, kept them near us and in our lives, that we might enjoy that blessing. But now I want to move on to the last thing, because this really is kind of the meat of what we're talking about this morning. The last thing in the list of things that Jesus gave thanks for, because it ties all the rest together and hopefully should change our perspective on them, is this. Number 5, Jesus gave thanks for his death. Look at Matthew 26 with me, where I ask you to hold, verses 26 to 30. And it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and said to his disciples, gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks again and offered it up to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Right, the Passover feast opened with a prayer of thanks. We mentioned that before when Jesus prays for food, right? But this here would have been a separate thing. This isn't the same. When it says Jesus gave thanks at the Passover, and when it says here he gave thanks and then distributed the bread and the cup, completely separate events. For us to understand this a bit better, I'm going to show you that the Passover wasn't exactly like how our meals are going to be when we go home. It was a little more orderly and purpose-driven. It wasn't just pray and dive in. There was an order that took place. There were multiple cups of wine that would be drank at this meal. I looked this up. I did my homework, don't worry. The wine was watered down so the disciples weren't all, you know, messed up halfway point of this meal. There was watered down wine and multiple cups that would be drank. After the initial prayer of thanksgiving for the meal that we already mentioned, the first of 4 cups of wine would be drank, followed by the eating of bitter herbs and some singing. Then the second cup would be drank with the eating of the unleavened bread and the eating of the lamb. Then the third cup would be drank and more singing. And then the fourth cup, which is a cup that would be passed around and shared by those at the feast. So it's believed that as the Savior institutes the Lord's Supper, as we see it and as we just participated in and read from 1 Corinthians, it would have happened, what he said, somewhere after the third cup, okay, before the fourth cup being passed around in the breaking of the bread time together. And I tell you all this is to tell you, that this act of thankfulness is not, in fact, the same as the prayer for food. The food's been prayed for, the event is in progress, and Jesus stops and slows things down during the feast and says, "Remember the Passover lamb. I am thankful that I will die for you. I am thankful for my broken body, which is for you. I am thankful for my blood poured out, which is for you, the new covenant in my blood." Jesus knew he was about to die. He knew the cross was just ahead of him. And he took a moment in that time to pause and give thanks. On a night when, from a human perspective, I don't know about you, but if I knew I was about to get walked to the electric chair, I wouldn't be the happiest of campers, probably. Our human nature wars against that. Desires to live, right? He had every reason, by human understanding and worldly wisdom, to be self-absorbed, to give into self-pity, resentment, murmuring, disdain. And yet he spoke words of thanks to his heavenly Father, words that flowed out of a thankful heart. I have an excerpt from a book called Choosing Gratitude that I want to read to you here. I just found it profound. It says, "This is no small deal. This was not just an obligatory blessing offered up before a meal. The whole meal pictured the enormous sacrifice Jesus was about to make. In giving thanks for the cup and the bread and then giving the symbolic elements to his disciples, Jesus was saying, in effect, 'Yes, Father, I willingly surrender myself thankfully to your calling for my life, whatever the cost.' He gave himself to God and to the world, not under coercion, but with abandon, with gratitude, with a grateful heart for the privilege of obeying his Father and fulfilling the mission he had been sent to earth to complete." He'd be on the cross in just a few hours. Not long at all. Enemies were already plotting his death. A man who had walked with him through his earthly ministry had already betrayed him. And to give thanks on that night, knowing everything he knew. How? Christ gave thanks with the confidence that God's plan was being fulfilled. This is where I feel we can truly learn the most from Jesus as our model of thanksgiving. We know that all things come from God and we should be thankful for them, and we are. It's not wrong. But we don't want to get stuck with a purely retrospective approach to thanksgiving. The video that played before the service, I'm not going to wait for it to get better. I'm not going to wait for the financial situation to change. I'm not going to wait for the healing. I'm going to give thanks now because you are good, and I'm going to give thanks now knowing that you will continue to be good. Ultimately, in all these examples that we listed from Jesus of his gratitude, his thanksgiving, we do see reflective gratitude, right? Thank you, Lord, for what you've given. But we also see gratitude for what was set before him. The glory of God yet to come, yet to be revealed. Not just retrospective thanks or thanks for the current situation, but prospective thanks. Thank you, Father, for what is coming, because you're going to do amazing things no matter how the present may look. This comes to him in many different ways, not just in present blessing or the giving of good things, but in loss, in need, in suffering. In all of those situations, think, the wisdom of the world is failing. The world's consuming itself. Not a lot of food to go around. His friend died. Jesus wept. And for all these things, he gave thanks. Those who said that they would never leave him, those who God had given him would abandon him. They would desert him. And then he would suffer and die. And he gave thanks. When we know all of that, that he knew all of that, when we look at the Lord's Supper and how he gave thanks in this brokenness for his brokenness to come of his physical body and shed blood, and we recognize the joy not being in the event, but in the outcome of the event. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for what? For the forgiveness of sins. He was thankful for what would be, that was not yet seen, the salvation of all who would believe. The wisdom of the world will fail. The children, as it said, who would receive truth have a responsibility of what to do with that truth. Are any of our college and careers here who are here on Thursday? Doesn't look that. A couple of them in the back. When we looked at Habakkuk this last week, what did God tell Habakkuk to do with the knowledge that he would give him? Take it and run. I am revealing myself to you. Write it down and run and carry it with you as far as you can go. Spread it as far as you are able. Thank you, Lord, for the knowledge given that it would be extended to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for food and provision, right? Let me work with the energy given by this provision to build your kingdom. And if the table is ever looking a little meager, let me trust you in your provision that your name would be glorified. And if my table is full and my neighbor's isn't, Lord, let me glorify you by filling their table. I said I was going to come back to the fish and the bread. Thanksgiving in the meager provision of fish and bread was, thank you, Lord, that this is here, small as it may be, because this is an opportunity for God to be made known, for his majesty and love to be shown. In the death of a friend, again, the opportunity to see God glorified. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake that you might know. Does this mean every prayer has to end in healing? Or resurrection from the dead? No. Can prayer end in healing? Yeah. Whichever will bring the most glory to his name, in order that people would know the power of God, and also the immense comfort he can offer when the floor falls out and the healing doesn't come. In whatever way he is most glorified. we give thanks. Right, the model of thanksgiving is one that we're looking at here, is one that looks forward, not one that is caught up and stuck in the here and now or in the past, one that has the end game and the final plan in mind. So, can I extend thanks when things aren't going well? Or do I need everything to be perfect and the way I want it to be in order to do so? Can I look past my current situation and know that God is working in, through, and around me? Can I look at the year of blessing that has been given and not get caught in complacency, grounded in contentment, but can I look forward and say, God, what will you do next? I hope that this year, this weekend, when you sit with family and friends, that you not only thank God for what has been, but that you also look forward with thanks for what will be. It can be hard to do when we look at the trajectory of this world, right? It's pretty messed up. It's pretty broken. But is God gone? No. Is he absent from all that is happening? Has his plan been halted? No. Thankfulness in more than just the perceived blessing was where I thought I was going to be going this week with the message, but the greater lesson for me and for my heart has been to be thankful for what is coming. Not just in what already has come or in the hope of something to come, but thankfulness for the salvation I received through the cross, but also because he's promised he's coming back. And so even if the next year doesn't lend itself to the physical gifts and blessings we hope for, hold on to the hope, the blessing, and the promise of our Savior's return. Jesus says to his disciples, my body broken for you, I am thankful. My blood poured out for you, I am thankful. And I tell you the truth, I won't drink of the vine again until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the momentary blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the heartache that points us towards you. Thank you, Lord, that you will return and you will reclaim what is yours, who are yours, and that we will be experiencing that blessing with you, that thanksgiving with you again someday. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your promises. Amazing promises that we see, Lord, that we don't always see the fruit of ourselves in our own lives. Lord, I'm reminded of a quote that says, Lord, I don't always feel your presence. I don't always see your blessings. But your promises are not dependent on my feelings or my experience. They are grounded in your faithfulness. God, you are faithful. God, you are good. God, you give us so much to be thankful for. And Lord, there is so much to be thankful for yet to come. Even when everything's drowning, even when everything's broken, there is so much coming for us to be excited about, to be thankful for, to ask for. Lord, bless this weekend as we spend time together as family, as friends. Bless the rest of the service, the time of singing. Let our hearts truly sing of who you are and what you've done for us and what you will do. Lord, bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.